The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Everybody got a dream. Listen to me. Everybody has a dream, but not everybody got a drive. You are where you are because of how you think. And if you were to change your thinking, you would change your world. Monday, I cry. Tuesday, I cry. Wednesday, I cry. Thursday, I cry. Friday, I cry. Saturday, I cry. Sunday, I cry. And that's why I'm here today. And listen to me, your problem is you're not grinding. You're not grinding. You're taking days off. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me well.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to BIB Radio. Tonight is going to be an interesting show, of course. Robert, do we have you on the line?
If you can hear this voice, then I am on the line.
I can hear your voice. All right. Well, today is March 24th, 2014. Again, like I said, we have a very interesting show for those that are joining us for the first time. What did I say? 2016. I'm sorry. 2016. Wow. Where am I? 2 years ago. Wow.
All right.
Thank you.
Wow. I'd be looking out the window.
Okay. Sorry. 2016. Yes. So, I lost my train of thought. But anyway, for those that don't know what this programming is about, we are an entrepreneur show where we are focusing on entrepreneurial situations, talking to different people who are entrepreneurs, giving tips. We invite guests on to give us pointers and information on what they have. So with that being said, tonight's show, I'll read off our flyer. It says, listen to The Dynamic Show on BIB Radio, March 24, 2016. And then it gives all the time. Tonight we're talking to Mr. J.L. Cheatham out of Seattle. He's a blogger and international selling children's book author of The Family Jones and The Eggs of Rex. Let's see. J.L. was recently listed as one of the top 11 Black authors that you should know by blackmomsblog.com. You can visit his website at www.jlcheatham.com for updates on blogs, books, and upcoming events. In the second hour, we will have a conversation with Brother Remusu, and he works out of an office, let's see, it's called Devin Collins, CEO. Let's see. I'll let him tell us more about that. The Devin Mark Corporation. And he works in research and development of energy and water. He is a former patent examiner for the government and will enlighten us on the process of getting a patent for your invention. Okay, so callers and listeners, you can call in at 1-641-715-3660. The access code is 549-032 and pound. But if you want to ask a question, dial with the same number and access code, which is 641-715-3660, and then you punch in the access code 549-032-*6 and then number 1. That also goes for our guests. Use that information so that we see that you're in the background. So, Robert, what do you think of tonight's show? Are you like excited or kind of blah? What?
Well, I'm very excited. There's so much going on in this world right now. I'm I can't wait to dive into this patent, the whole notion of getting your ideas patented and inventions and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, you know, there's so much to learn when it comes to doing for self. Just happy that we can bring these different opportunities to the listeners to the forefront, to where maybe they didn't have a forum or something like that they can hear these different possibilities of creating something that you can do for yourself business wise. So I'm just thankful that we're here to do that, and I'm thankful that you're the host, and I'm the host of this show, and I'm so grateful that God gave this to us. So let's have fun with it.
Well, I'm thankful too that God gave it to us, because you know what? We are original, and we are going to have some original guests and some original conversations and some great laughs, especially with Jeffrey, because I know him personally. Whenever he and I get on the phone, it is a radio program within itself. I mean, he just cracks me up. But I'm very proud of Jeffrey, because he's just recently gotten into blogging, which, you know, a lot of us should get into blogging. You know, it's a very lucrative business, but he'll tell us how he started blogging and, you know, about his ventures and writing children's books. And, you know, I've done a commercial for him. I mean, he's just really doing a lot of things. So I'm very proud of him on the local level, because, again, he's from Seattle. I live in Seattle. So, you know, we know each other. And then the next brother, he is an excellent source for learning about patents. A lot of us, you know, we think of ideas, we say, oh, that should be an idea, but we clearly are not thinking on another level. We just say that should be an idea, or somebody should create that, but why not us? Well, I can tell you the why not us is because we don't have the pathway, and we don't have the confidence within ourselves to actually seek out the information. And in the age of technology, we have no excuse. You know, we have all of the information at our fingertips, but a lack of confidence in ourselves, and I will say it, the L word, laziness, we don't really get into it like we should. So I'm so happy to have this brother on so he can talk to us about the steps to take in order to patent your idea and what that looks like.
Right.
I just said a mouthful and you just said right.
Well, I was trying to swallow all that. You know, I didn't want to choke because you said a mouthful, and when it's very meaty information like that, hey, you got to take that in, consume that slowly. But yeah, it's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to it. And I thank you again, CC, for helping me to become more of a speaker to the public, invite me to this format. I really appreciate that. And, you know, I'm going to, like I said, we're going to have fun with sharing this information and this knowledge with our people. We definitely need to know how to do for self. And it's not a lot of times when you're in the urban areas. Like in my case, when I first began this journey, I asked a guy who was pretty seasoned in the fashion industry here to tell me how to go into business, or, you know, give me an insight on the clothes. And the one thing that I heard for the first time, and I've heard it over and over and over again since then, is this cliche, the game is to be sold and not to be told. And I was very hungry when I asked, but I was shocked that the brother wouldn't share the information with me. Not that I would be any threat to his success. I was more than likely would have been someone who would have aided him to success. But and I said from that point on that I would never tell a young brother what I was told. And I haven't. And I'm not concerned with somebody doing greater than me or passing me up. If I can help you to success, aid and assist you to success, then that's my mission in life, to aid and assist you to success. What's good for me and what's coming to me is going to come. And I'm going to continue to have the positive energy, and that's going to continue to open up doors. So I'm not worried about a person passing me. I'm more concerned with you not passing me than passing me. I want you to pass me. You see? So.
Well, how about, what if we can work together? I mean, we just overthink this stuff. It's like, you know, if somebody needs a hand up, they need the information, just give it to them. You know, it's just so amazing to me how we've become brainwashed into thinking that nobody should be where we are, or, you know, we just do these strange things to keep the upper hand. And with that being said, that's what I love about Scotty Reed. I'm telling you. Scotty Reed is the CEO of this network, Black Talk Radio Network. And I said it last week, I believe, but he has assisted so many people in radio and helping. I mean, and just doesn't even ask for anything. I mean, it's amazing to me. If more people could follow that model of how he's doing things, I would say that we would get a lot further. Because I'm telling you, to be selfless in this situation or in these situations that we're in is the only way that we're going to get somewhere. Yes, you do need to make money. I mean, we all need to make money. But at the same time, we have a propensity in hoarding information. You know, we don't have to be hoarders. We don't have to be cutthroat to one another. That was taught to us, you know, and that was over the last few centuries or whatever, too, I would say, because we used to work together. I mean, look at Black Wall Street and all these other scenarios. I would say even way, way back, we used to work together. But now we've been taught that we need to cling to the heels of the white man. You know, we need to be the house Negro and be able to tell on somebody. And just, you know, I'm not saying we should be doing illegal activities, but then again, what is illegal? Illegal is what they make it. Exactly. That's a whole nother show, but think about marijuana. It's just terrible. And I know that we're not going to save everybody, but what I say is work with who you can work with. Sometimes that's not even people within your own family. You would hope that you can work with the people in your family, but sometimes you can't, you know, because unfortunately there's some real backstabby stuff in and outside of our family. So find those ones that you can work and build with and work and build with those. With that being said, we're going to have a show coming up with a gentleman who is going to show us how we can work and build our own town. I believe it's in Oklahoma. Didn't get a chance to talk to that guy.
Oh, yes, I did. Matter of fact, that phone call was only supposed to last for 10 minutes, and it wound up lasting over an hour. And he reached out to me just the other day, so we definitely need to touch bases with him. We've just been getting a lot of good people that we've been blessed to come into contact with over the last couple of weeks since we got the snowball rolling. This is the time for us as a people to really come together, work together, and build together, you know. And I just was expressing to my daughter, you know, put aside what we not doing or the negative, you know, focus more on the positive and build from the positive rather than building from the negative. You know, now there are certain things that we just can't tolerate, you know, being connected to, but for the most part, if we're not out here in these streets doing any foolishness or any craziness, then let's build as a race of people, let's build on each other's positive side. Because I always said my start was from a man that I was actually paying rent to. And as he said to me, brother, if I wanted to focus on your negative things that I could find about you, because we all have them, then we wouldn't get nowhere. He said, but I didn't. I saw that you were responsible. That was enough for me to want to help you. I saw that you were taking care of your children. That was enough for me to want to help you. And that same brother that I was paying rent to brought me a contract to a building across the street and said, give your children a better life. So we have to see God in one another and begin to trust that if I help this brother, I'm doing something for someone bigger than just myself. If I help this brother, I'm helping his children. I may be helping his grandchildren. And it ain't about a dollar. It's not about a dollar. I buy real estate, and I spent an hour this morning at the flea market talking to a brother that came and bought some detergent from me. And he just wouldn't let the conversation go. So I entertained him as much as I could. So we have to share what we were blessed to come into knowledge of. We have to share that.
Right. And with that being said, let's let Mr. Jeffrey Cheatham share with us his information. We're going to let him on. Are you ready? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to welcome Jeffrey on. Hello, welcome to BIB Radio. Who do we have on the line?
It's Jeffrey Cheatham.
How are you, Jeffrey Cheatham?
I am good, tired, and sore. Just finished up working out, so my legs are killing me right now, so I'm good. Good and sitting down.
Oh, you got that workout burn. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Jeffrey, let me introduce you to Robert Minor. Robert, Jeffrey, Robert.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine, Jeffrey. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good. Great to meet you.
Good meetings as well.
Okay, so Jeff, you have written a book and you've been on Black Talk Radio Network before, but never on this show. So, of course, this is an entrepreneurial show and you've got a couple things going on. Tell us what your first venture has been.
So, thanks. Yes, like you said, I wrote a children's book titled The Family Jones and the Eggs of Rex. That is actually my passion, is to become a successful author. And right now, it is self-published. So what I have been doing is, you know, I've been traveling to different places in Seattle, Washington. I just came back from Toronto, Canada, doing a book expo for Kaya Publishing and showcase my book out there. And, yeah, just been marketing my book. I've been invited, you know, on Black Talk Radio before. Spoke about it. I did a couple of readings to schools and libraries and things that particular. Just really just to promote my book and promote myself as a writer, you know, doing things that particular nature.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I see you all on Facebook going to different schools and just being received on different platforms. So how are the schools engaging with you? Or have you been able to get into any of the book fairs or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm actually in the midst of conversations right now to do some upcoming spring, summertime book fairs or book readings with a couple of schools right now. I don't want to say which because I don't want to jinx it. Yeah, I'm into that kind of stuff. So I don't want to jinx it. So well, I'll definitely promote it on social media. So pretty much when I read at the schools, I mainly just want to, you know, show the kids my book, of course, see if they like that. But I also go to the schools to show them that I came from the same situation as you, and you can get to where I'm at too, as long as you focus and have a vision for what you want to do in life. You know, so when I go to the schools, the kids are really, really engaged. Of course, kids are kids. They're very lively and very animated. So it makes the experience fun for me as well as them. And yeah, this is a great, like, I pretty much just do word of mouth and more person to person type interactions with people versus social media. Like, yeah, I do blast what I do a lot on social media, but I really like the personal interactions with people when it comes to my book, because I like to listen and their stories and hear how they feel about literature in general, especially with Black and brown people, because it seems like we're in a different box when it comes to that. You know, it's not just a simple old, the fantasy type atmosphere. It's just more like we need more representations of us in a positive light.
Right.
And every
right.
time I talk to the teachers and I talk to the students, I can tell, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just being strange, but I could just see it that they want that particular thing where the characters are Black and brown. They're in a situation where they come out as a hero instead of the victim. They save the day. They're the one that gives the life lesson for the readers. So each time that I go to a school and I read my book, I truly appreciate what I'm here to do even more and more each time I do it.
Well, you know, I can relate to what you're talking about because the children should be able to see characters that are positive, and even like you said, in the fantasy realm, that look like them, because we don't have much of that. Now, I was at a library here recently, and I was appalled, you know, because I took a young person to the library, and I was disturbed that I didn't see any books that represented him as a little Black child. you know, right. And I was so, I mean, I was ready to do what I needed to do, but because I had him with me, I did not. I didn't go make a scene. I didn't do that. So I decided to, you know, go home and just, you know, send an email, write a letter, because it's not right in this day and age that children do not see characters that represent them in books. Why would I be interested if I can't find myself in the books? That just doesn't make sense. And I also saw like a TED Talk, because I love listening to TED Talk. There was an African woman, and she was talking about that, basically the Dick and Jane character. And, mm-hmm. you know, just the simplistic characters, typical white characters, you know. And she became a writer. And guess what she started writing on? Those simplistic Dick and Jane characters, because that's what she grew up on. But then like mm-hmm. a light bulb went off, and she was like, wait a minute. This is not me. This is not representing me. I need to create characters that look and represent me, look like me and represent me. And that's exactly what she did. And she did a whole TED Talk on that. And I was like, wow. Okay.
Well, I would check that out then.
Oh, yeah. Check that out. I was like so excited about that because so many times, especially in the media, the positive characters are white. You know, they're not. Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna say black and brown. I'm gonna say black. They ain't black, okay? Not concerned with the brown. The brown are taken care of on another level, but the black, okay? But I mean, there are certain people that are recognized in that. I have a Facebook friend who has a whole comic book series, and it is black people, and we had him on the show too. His name is Joe Curry. So I mean, we need to definitely make sure we represent black people, you know, so that the children can see that there are black people in books that are heroes, and you know, you have the fantasy going on. We recently, this is my other show, we had a young lady who's an author. She's like 17. Her name's Kelsey, and Kelsey was into anime and all this other stuff, and I was like, wow, okay. And it was a shock to me. Why? Because we don't get into that, you know. We don't allow the children to explore. And I think you and I had talked about this before. It's because of religious reasons or whatever. We don't allow mm-hmm. them to explore. I mean, I believe a certain amount of exploration is okay. Now, some things they don't need to explore. And that's where the training comes from. And you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain things that they do need to see themselves represented in, you know, and books and TV and all that. Whatever they're engaged in, they need to be able to see themselves there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one key thing, too, that I feel like we need to discuss more is voting. Not voting, like, with ballots and, you know, votes, but voting with our money. Because the reason why we don't see most of these things is because we're not putting money into it. If we want to see more black characters, we have to invest in more black characters. Now, granted, it has to be quality and not crap. You know, we don't want to put our money towards crap because we want to see a black face over here, but still... It's time to start voting with our dollars to make these things happen, to see things. It goes back to that whole, you know, Oscars so white type deal, right? Where everybody's making a big uproar about how there weren't any black people nominated for Oscars. For one, you shouldn't seek validation from anybody that's not a part of your community to begin with. But secondly, if you want to see more black representation in entertainment, you have to show it with your money. Because there's plenty of, you know, authors like myself who are out there, you know, who are, you know, creating the content that we wish to see. But for one, it's not being sought out because it's not put on mainstream media. And two, nobody's putting their money into it. And three, when people are asked to invest their money into it, it's met with an attitude. Like, oh, come on, man. Like, what, 10, 20 bucks? Like, for real? $20? And it's kind of like... But dude, you spend $20 at McDonald's.
You
can't, like, you won't spend $20 for a book for yourself, a book for your child, or you won't spend $30 to see a play of an all black cast, but you'll spend $150 for some pair of Jordans.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kinda like, you know, not okay, like I'm not gonna be the one to get in people's pockets, like you earned your money, you made your money. Spend it how you choose, but it's kind of weird to complain about not seeing stuff when you yourself don't invest the time or the money into it.
That's
and the reason
true.
Why I'm
That's
getting
true.
On that, and I, And the reason I'm getting on that topic is because I had a conversation with a person who, you know, bought my book, but it turned into a bit of a discussion about pricing. But then I asked
somebody
him,
asked you about pricing?
Yeah, they wanted me to lure her, you know, to buy, like, you know, well, why does it cost that much? I'm selling my books now for $12 physically. Like, my physical copies are $12. So someone was like, hey, man, why don't you, you know, drop it down to $8? And I asked her, I was like, why would you want me to sell my book for $8? He's like, well, you know, I mean, I'm trying to support you, but you are just starting out, and I don't really see your book being worth $12, to be honest with you.
He
literally said that to me.
I'm
dead. And it's almost to the point where I can't, I don't name drop. I can't name drop. I'm not going to name drop names. Like, you know, but this is the best, like, that's the mentality, you know? It is just like, you know, if you want to. Hello?
Where?
Oh, okay. Sorry. But this is a point, like, if we want to, because apparently we're having this big issue right now where we want to see genuine quality work through eyes outside of the community for some apparent reason, it starts with us within. So we have to appreciate our products that comes from artists, comes from writers, comes from poets, comes from anybody that is creating, it needs to be financed, and it needs to be financed at the price that's being asked,
right,
instead of trying to diminish it. So,
right. There's no reason why we can't spend $12 on your book, Jeffrey. I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe somebody said that to you. You spend more than $12, like you said, on McDonald's. First of all, why do you still eat McDonald's? But you spend money on McDonald's, but you can't buy the eggs of Rex for your son who needs to read about dinosaurs. Whoever you are, you need to stop it. Ridiculous.
Hey,
Robert, what do you think about how we spend money as Black people? I mean, what do you think about that? Like, you know, they don't go to Walmart saying you need to lower your price. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a conditioning that I just said today, literally. Somebody walked up to me and said, man, you should be selling this laundry detergent crazy because everybody use laundry detergent. I said, well, I'm going to say this to that brother. I said, if a white man was sitting next to me and I had ice and he had ice, they swear up and down that his ice was colder than mine.
Yeah.
So I get it. So the thing of it is, you know, we have to know the mathematics of what we do. And it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So that's like I tell anybody, when you get into business, don't get into business under the emotion that they're going to appeal to it because it's Black. Because I'm not, right. A lot of the times, they just don't. So if we deal with it mathematically and just keep reproducing that product over and over and over again, selling multi-millions at a time, then that's the way we, unfortunately, as Black people, we have to make our money. We got to take it to the calculator and give, an old friend of mine said, give the people what they want, how they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what it is. And I put a picture up with a book. I had a book, I had an old dollar that, you know, was out of print. And I put it in a book, and I posted on Facebook. I said, now, Malcolm X said, if you want to hide something from Black folks, put it in a book. And that dollar was in that book a year or two later, and that book was sitting out for everybody to see it, and that dollar was still there. So, I mean, it's sad, but it is what it is. But I say keep doing what you do, because like Cece was saying, at that library that she went to, she told me about it, we need representation of who we are, and we don't have enough of it, and yes, we need to promote it.
Right. Now, on the flip side, I did go to an inner city library, and it was Black all up in there, and it was nice, it was clean, it was beautiful. I felt right at home. I told those people at the front desk, thank you for having such a wonderful library, although I know white people created it, but whatever. They're still in there working. They're still in there working, making it a wonderful environment, speaking with me and you know, just giving me the information that I needed. I so appreciated that. But it's not right that I have to be in the inner city to get what I need. No, there's black people on that side of town. They definitely need black representation in there. So we gonna work on that. Because of course I'm from liberated Seattle, so you know, being in St. Louis, I'm like, okay, they need to change a little bit up in this place or whatever. They might send me home, but yeah.
Honestly, to create change, I believe it starts with the power of five. You need five people with the same mindset to create the change that you want. Like, if you want more black representation in books, since I'm an author, I'm going to just talk about books. So if you want to create a situation where you want to showcase black authors, you need a good, solid five people to put their money and create a time and a place to do a book expo. It won't, if it starts out big, that's fine. But if it starts out with just three authors, you still accomplish the same goal of showcasing, and you just build from that. I think what I'm experiencing right now, I think people want the benefits without taking the responsibility. And what I mean by that is people, a lot of talk, you know, because you go on social media, we see a lot of people who are saying that we need to stick together, we need to do this, which is all fine and that which we all need to do. But I think people are missing out that hard work needs to be put in order to achieve those goals. And including with business in particular, everybody wants the penthouse, but nobody wants to lay the foundation. I'm not saying everybody, but that's the thing that's the talk because, you know, we see it on social media all the time. People post memes about, you know, black empowerment, black business, all that, all the great stuff that needs to happen. But you rarely, well, I'm speaking for myself, I rarely see somebody offering a plan, offering like course of action, or hey, let's meet up at this cafe and let's discuss us coming up with a business model to showcase more people who are interested in technology, books, writing. Let's create something. It seems like everybody's just still waiting for someone to light the match.
Well, in all fairness, they do have that thing in Seattle. What is it called? Lord have mercy. I'll have to send it to you. But they do have a group once a month that gets together and they, you know, create some plans. I don't think you've ever gone to it, but I'll send you the information. But it's like, you know, an entrepreneur group. They meet every once in a while, not every month. And then there's also meetup.com. But I think what you're talking about is people on Facebook that say we need to do this and do that. And they're called Facebook warriors. That's what people call them.
Yeah, Facebook activists.
They only battle on Facebook, but then when it comes to real life, they're not ready to do anything. They're still at their regular 9-to-5 job. I mean, it's just like ridiculous and crazy. But you're right. Now, what I wanted to say is we have to actually be accountable ourselves, and we have to be willing to admit that we look for wrong in black business. I'll use Walmart, for example, because I know a lot of people still go to Walmart. Although we know we shouldn't be there, we still go to Walmart, McDonald's, and all these other things. But what I'm going to say is we have to be ready to check ourselves, because here locally, you know, I'm all ready for self-checking because I check myself all the time. But, you know, we went to this donut shop, and, you know, I'm here in St. Louis, and there's so many black businesses. It's like Disneyland for me, you know, because what is it like in Seattle, Jeffrey?
Yeah. Hey. I don't say about that.
Say it. Right, okay, so here,
no comment.
Black business. Yes, so I'm excited about black business. But I went inside the donut shop and it was black. So what am I doing? I'm looking around. I'm smelling for smells. You know, if I smell too much bleach, I'm like, oh, you know, they're like pretending to. I just have these little stupid things in my brain. But I immediately had to check myself. I was like, wait a minute. Why am I looking for wrong? Because it's a black business? Because I'm not used to being in black business? Because I've been conditioned to think that black business is corrupt? You know, so I immediately called it out. I told Robert, I was like, oh my goodness, I came in here and I was thinking wrong. Didn't I say that, Robert? I did. Right?
That was very honest of her too. I was impressed. I was very honest because I didn't think she was going to say what she said about herself, right. But that was, and a lot of us are like that.
That's cool. That's real cool, real dope.
Right. Right.
Yeah, like
and
you said, it's conditioning.
Over here, she's saying a lot of people think that way, but they're not saying it. And it's true. We do. We like look for the wrong. It's like, is there this, that, or that, this, or whatever, you know? But you go into the white place, you're like, oh, it's pristine. You can have a roach in your rice. And you can be like, oh, you know. Well, not really.
That's so. Right? There's a roach in rice. Like, that's an almond. That's almond. Don't worry about that. That's an almond with legs on it. Don't worry about it.
That's a little protein. That's all it is.
That's a little protein. Just a little garnishment. That's it. Yeah.
Right. But basically, that's how we've been conditioned to think that, okay, we as black people, we can't do business. But actually, we created this thing. We are the entrepreneurs. They have stolen from us. I don't care who's listening. Black people created this darn world. The United States. If it wasn't for us, the wheels would not be turning right now. I don't want to hear about everybody else that was in slavery. I don't want to hear about that. Yes, it's true, whatever. But I'm talking about black people right now, okay? We did create this thing. So we are entrepreneurs, and I know that a lot of things have been stolen from us. So we need to get out of that mindset of thinking that black people in business are corrupt. Yes, you will run across a few black, bad black people in business. But you run across some white people that are bad in business every day. We'll speak about Walmart again as a corporation. They're screwing everybody up and down, left and right. But you still keep going back to Walmart. You know, you keep going back to Walmart. You don't see anything wrong with that. But you have something with a black person, you're ready to put them on the cross and burn them instead of going back and correcting the issue if it can be corrected. You don't even try. You just badmouth them around the town. We need to stop doing that. We need to have a checks and balances system to make sure that we continue to do business with one another. If someone is wrong or something happened, you can go to that person and you can say to them, hey, my whatever, and then hopefully you guys can work that out versus you get on Facebook and act like a child and blast them that way. We don't need to do business that way. Jeffrey, if I don't like your book, I should be able to say, you know what, I did buy your book. It wasn't for me. And, you know, I won't be buying no more of your book or whatever.
Oh, wow.
But,
cool then.
Okay.
I know, I'm
playing. I love your book. No. I love your book. But, no, I'm just saying. You get what I'm saying, though. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I don't get what you're saying. It's being able to have the ability to have a conversation about a disagreement that doesn't result in yelling or arguing. Being an adult about my opinions and being an adult about my views on things. And also, it's kind of, if you really look at it, we're seeking validation for our opinions from outside people. That's why for example, the whole world star mentality, as I'm going to call it. If we see something bad, we see something that's outrageous, or we see something that is destructive, we have to promote it to get validation for us being there. And that's why, you know, going back to, you know, I'm tying that into what you said about going into a black establishment and you looked for something wrong. The main thing that I've experienced, I've taken part in this myself, is just like, man, see, this is why black people can't get what we can get, man, because we do this, we do this, we do that. And then, like, I mean, how many of us have had that conversation with our peers and our family members before? And this is why we can't rise to the people, man. This is why we can't do this. This is why we can't do that. And I just call it the whole world star mentality, because our destruction is the best show in town right now in American media.
Mm-hmm.
It's big business. Mm-hmm. It's best ratings. Hence why they only focus on our destruction and minimize our progress. Because our progress outweighs our destruction, because we've been given the short end of the goddamn twig, and yet we're still in the position we are in now to create a difference in our households, in our communities. And that's why they're constantly creating new laws, they're constantly creating new policies, they're constantly creating new circumstances to slow our progress. And yet we're still here.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, we are still here. We build something out of nothing each and every time. But they come and try to Black Wall Street us every time, try to burn it down.
Yeah, they Black Wall Street us, they rose with us, they, you know, all the kinds of other stuff. But what my personal opinion is, we have to, you know, we have to take the world what it is right now. I mean, we can change the world, but we have to work within the confines of how this world works. The world works as capitalism. That's the name of the game right now, is capitalism. The more money you got, the more people will listen to you. The more money you have, the more people would believe in what you're doing. So with that mindset, we have to use our capitalistic powers, as I'm going to call it, to invest in the things we want to see.
Yep.
If we want to see more black representation in media, invest in black media schools. If you want to see more literature with black characters, buy black books. If you want to see more movies with black stars, actually black people playing Egyptian gods, if you want to see that, actually see Egyptian gods being represented as Africans and not Europeans, invest in the movies that showcase that.
Right.
It's really, I mean, it sounds simple, but it's hard to do, but it's really that simple. And it just seems like we're waiting for a large group of people to say, yeah, let's do it, versus that one person's like, I'll put myself in the front of the line to take the first shot and to see what goes from there.
You know, Russell Simmons aired a show, an awards show, the same night as the Oscars. And,
I heard of that, yeah.
The brother, Chris Rock's brother, I forget his name, something Rock.
Tony Rock.
Tony Rock, is that his name?
Yeah, Tony Rock.
But he was supposed to be the host of the show. Now, you know, but I heard him on the TMV or whatever that show is called, interview, you don't have to correct me on that one, we don't need to be, you know, tripping off the Oscars. We just need to do our own thing. And that's the thing that we have to come to the realization of, is we just don't ask for permission to do it. Just do it. Do our own things. As you say, if we want these things, then pull the resources together and buy a radio station, buy a television station, buy a printing press, and don't ask white folks to give us permission. We don't need permission from white folks to do anything. We have to get that thinking out of us. We always want to be validated by Caucasian. Let me say something for the record. This needs to be corrected in all of us. They are Caucasian people, not white folks. We say white folks, and white in the color spectrum is a pure color. It's a clean color. But the race of people we're talking about is a Caucasian race. That describes that race to the T. So I always have to correct myself when I say white people. It's not white people. It's Caucasian people. We don't need their permission to do what we know we need to be doing for ourselves. We got to get out of that thinking.
Right.
We do need to get out of that thinking. We need to start thinking totally different. We need to become unbrainwashed. We need to decide. I mean, it's a decision. You know, it is a decision to think differently, to go in a different direction. But, you know, like I always say, I once too was ignorant, and I'm still learning, you know. So I don't really want to belittle anybody, but at the same time, don't waste my time. If you're not interested in learning, we're not going to have a conversation. I mean, I can learn from you. You can learn from me. We can learn from each other. But if you are not interested in learning, that's a problem.
You know, I'm going to say this. A partner of mine, very profound thinker he is, I was traveling and went to his house, and I knocked on his front door, and on his front door he had a paper, and it said the three J's, and the three J's, it was Jesus, Jobs, and jail. And he said that this is the problem that is hindering black people from going anywhere. And I thought about that over the course of time that I saw that, because it really profounded me. But when I really, really today thinking about that, the Jesus represented all the churches that are on the corners in the black community. Mm-hmm. Jobs, I've always said, Jobs is like to a heroin addict. Jobs to the regular man is like heroin is to the heroin addict. You just gotta have it. You physically and mentally hooked on that heroin as you are physically and mentally hooked on that week to week or that biweekly or that monthly paycheck. In jail, we already know the numbers of black people incarcerated throughout America. So, I mean, we got some obstacles in our own mind. These things exist in our head that stop us from seeing us as the people who we really are. We are a great, great, great people. We are the underdog that always comes to the top. Wherever we go, wherever endeavor we get in, if it's writing a book, nobody does a book better than a black man. Our imagination, our creative ability. And I can almost imagine the books that you have, that book that you have. I can almost imagine. You know, look at Venus and Serena Williams. Tiger Woods, even though he wants to deny being black, but he's black.
No, he's black now.
We rise to the top, you know, and we just got to get past the hurdles in our own mind and believe, and not just believe, but know we who we are, and we can go far. We can turn this thing over in the night. We really could. And we just don't know that. So, yes.
I think we do know that. It's just more about we're as a collective group, we're waiting for somebody to take that step. Because if you look at the history, every time one of our many leaders like Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Mega Everett, they took that step forward to create the change, they get cut down. They get killed. So I think that type of mentality has been instilled upon us, because every time someone has taken a step forward, they've been cut down, you know. So, but people need to realize we can't live in fear. If we want to make something happen, we have to make the steps forward, and we have to be able to go through hell, fire, and brimstone to get it done. Especially for the greater good. Especially if we want to live a good life, being happy with yourself, whether it's financially, emotionally, or spiritually, and all that. We have to take the necessary steps forward to live that life, you know. And it starts from one person. You know, you can't change the planet. You have to change yourself first, and then that energy you give off will change everything around you. So if you want black entrepreneurship, you have to become a black entrepreneur. If you want black leadership, you have to become a black leader. And even, you know, just be a human being that wants that world. You have to become that world within yourself.
You become that person, like for instance, in St. Louis, in the ghettos of St. Louis, I grew up. I remember going to Zeke's Barbershop on Lillian, and there was a convenience store that was black owned and ran. Every store in the black community at that time, which was in the 70s when I was a young kid, every store in the black community was black owned. Now today, and I'm speaking just as recently as last year, almost this time last year, but a little later in July, August, I went around to the stores in St. Louis and East St. Louis, the convenience stores. We was putting product in the stores, and every convenience store that we went to, totaling at last count, it was 60 stores between St. Louis and East St. Louis. And out of 60 convenience stores, I'm talking about in the worst of black neighborhoods, some of these hoods looked like they was war stricken. There were Arabic people running the stores. And when I tell you to sit back and look at our people going in those stores and the level of joy that they had spending the money, and the pricing that they had on the products was much higher, but our people, it threw me for a whirlwind. I just watched how joyously they spent their money. You see, we have to put back into the communities more black-owned businesses and support them, and police these businesses, because a lot of these businesses are really doing nigger business, to be quite honest with you. You know. So we have to police, we have to have a standard of how we do business in the black community, more dignified, and more respectful to us as a people, and then promote those businesses, support those businesses. And as business owners, we have to know how to be in business. And that, when I say know how to be in business, I'm saying know your numbers, know the numbers, do the math, and know the math. Don't go into business, black people, thinking, especially if you come out of the streets from the drug game, you can't bring that way of making money into business. Most businesses, at very best, make a 30% profit, at very best. So if you come in into business thinking that you're going to make 100% or double up, as they say in the streets, you got to lose that mindset. Now you got to look at volume, because the big kahunas out there, Walmart and all those other places that understand the mathematics of business, they're not making 100%. They know that they're going to get you because they're going to sell the product cheaper and they're going to sell more. And that's why when Walmart go into small rural areas where the people don't know the mathematics of business, why you should own the property that you in. Matter of fact, why you should own it and live in it and run your business out of it. When you don't know those concepts, you're gambling. You're basing your business off an emotion where they're going to come spend money with me because I'm black. No, that may last for just a short while, because your dollars, the numbers, are going to dictate to you what you need to be doing. Mm-hmm. So we better wisen up.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I absolutely agree. It's just about just taking that step to seek out that knowledge, that specialized knowledge, especially if that's what you want to do. That's pretty much it. To seek out the knowledge is to be ready to put in the work. I honestly believe that we are. It's about just taking that first step. For each individual who has this mentality, because I believe a lot of us feel this way, we're just too afraid, they're too afraid to say it, or they just don't know how to verbalize it. And asking to seek out the help, or asking to seek out the knowledge that they're looking for to become a black business owner, a black entrepreneur, a black success. It's just taking that first step and realizing that it's gonna be a journey. It's going to be hard. You're going to hit a couple of bumps on the road. You're going to get knocked down plenty of times, but it's all about getting up and just keep pushing forward. When you pursue business, if you pursue using your money as power, only two scenarios happen. You win or you learn something. If you take a risk and you win. And if, you know, you lose, you learn something. You never actually lose. I wish I could use a better term besides lose, but I can't right now. But when you go through a hardship, you're gonna learn something, and it's up to you to have the common sense and have the knowledge available to adapt it and make sure that your chances to win is a lot better.
When you said looking for a better term, you said it. Because you just said it. There's a quote I use. I never lose. I either win or I learn.
Yeah.
And you just said it, brother. That's what it is.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Because we're all gonna get hit. You're all gonna get hit in the face. You're all gonna get punched in the stomach. You're all gonna get knocked down and thrown over a cliff, but it's about you climbing back. And we can't be afraid to go through, to get the scrapes and bruises necessary to become a success. And you can't be afraid to go through that with somebody else who you want to see win as well. You can't leave people who are in the same situation as you, who you love and care for, who have the same ideas as you of black empowerment, black business, and black success. You can't be afraid to go through the war with them. You just can't.
There's
nothing wrong with that mentality, because that's what every other group, every other race, every other culture, that's what they do. And for some reason, we've have been taught to not think that way because it's bad when we do it, but everybody else does that. It's okay for the Asians to do that. It's okay for the, you know, the Latin community to do that. It's okay. Of course, we know whites do it. We know Europeans do it. We know that all these other groups do it, but for some reason, black people have an issue with, as I guess I'll say, from a public standpoint, from a from a social media standpoint, there's like a battle of black unity or acceptance. Pretty much, it's a battle between Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter. For some reason, still to this day. And you can't. It's okay to only mess with your own people. That's fine. That doesn't mean that you hate. It doesn't mean that you hate others. I'd just rather see somebody who looks like me win. Because that's what everybody else does.
Right. mean, like you said, it ain't that we don't have a respect for all life.
Right.
But all life is not our issue right now.
Yeah.
Our lives is our issue. Black lives is our issue, you know. And we want to see us win. We want to see us on top. And everybody else is benefiting from us being on the bottom. Everybody benefits from us being on the bottom. Because you got the best. You got the best on the bottom. And that means that if they don't know that they the best, but they have habits of the best, then they're going to do what the best would normally do if they were in position. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So while we're on the bottom, not knowing that we are the best, we do things like the best. We desire the best. We want the best cars. We want the best palaces and houses. We want the best jewelry. God is the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those are attributes of the best. So now to benefit from us is we can't let them know that they are the best. We got to keep them ignorant and desiring the best in the state that they're in. They're going to go spend that money. So we'll give you the rap music that just degenerates your culture, but also we'll put in those finer things of life. We'll give you everything that depicts the finer things of life, at the same time degrading your culture, who you are, but yet got you going to the mall and spending all your precious dollars. You see, and that's the overall plan. So now we as entrepreneurs, see, I recognized early on in my 21 years, I said, man, an entrepreneur is a role model. He is a role model, whether he wants or she wants to admit it or not. You're in a community doing something that the majority of the community people are not doing. Most of the community is coming to your establishment. So you play a major part in how people think, and that is your stage. Now you have a chance. If you never was a minister before in your life, now you have become a minister in the community, because now the whole community is coming into your establishment and they're meeting you for the very first time. So,
wow, we are having a dynamic conversation, you guys.
Yeah, got deep out here, yeah.
Yes. So was that a key for a commercial break? CeCe, are you there? Yeah, well, as I said, though, you know, so we have to understand that we are the role models in our communities, and we have to, I mean, when we're like pastors and ministers. The church folks congregate there on Sundays, and they go there, and they go there to hear a word. Now, you know, they give a whole lot of money, and in return, they get a good feeling, but no real clear instructions on how to change the community, how to change the reality in the physical world that they live in the practical world that they live in.
Hi, hello, sorry, I was clicked out. but we must tell you all that you're doing a wonderful job. The next guest is so excited. He's listening in. Jeffrey, are you going to be able to stay with us for the next hour?
Actually, I can't. I have to I actually have a reading to go to in like a couple minutes.
Excuse us. Reading to go to. So tell everyone how they can reach you or get a hold of your book. Offer that information to our listeners.
Okay. How you get a hold of me is you can check out my website, which is www.jlcheatham.com. And Cheatham is spelled C-H-E-A-T-H-A-M. And the book that I am so proud of is called The Family Jones and the Eggs of Rex. It's a children's book. It's about a family. They find a book and a bracelet in their backyard. It sends them to a land of dinosaurs where they help a family of T-Rex recover their eggs stolen by a pterodactyl. Also, you can hit me up on my email, which is jlcheatham2@gmail.com for any questions, ways to order my book, or just to, you know, hey, just shoot me an email to say, hey, shoot, I like meet new people all the time and make connections all the time anyway. So that's my info. I'm so thankful that you guys had me on today. It was a great conversation. So,
coming
on, man.
We are excited. You have to come back on and talk to us about blogging. I mean, seriously, like I said before, having a conversation with you is a radio program. Every time we talk, I'm like, I'm so excited that you're my friend and we have this going
appreciate
on.
It.
We will definitely have you back on like super, super, super soon. That we can continue on learning what you're doing. But thank you, Jeffrey. We still
real quick. So I have another book that's coming out real soon, another children's book. It is called Why Is Jane So Mad? It's another children's book coming out. It'll be on my website, www.jlcheatham.com. And it'll be out really soon. So just be on the lookout for that. And I hope you guys enjoy that one too.
Why Is Jane So Mad? We're looking forward to hearing. You are listening to Black Talk Radio. This is VIB Radio. If you'd like to call in and get in on the conversation, the number is 641-715-3660, participant code 549-032, pound. If you'd like to talk with us, press *6 and 1. If you would just like to listen, just do the 549-032 and pound. Let's go to a short commercial break where we'll get in with our next guest.
The world will soon place you and your family members under geopolitical, economic, and social unrest. Are you ready? If your answer is no, then this is the opportune time for you to become informed, aware, and prepared for soon coming events. For only $25 per month, become educated in the area of precious metals and disaster preparedness for your home and businesses. For more information, email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Because becoming an entrepreneur is very empowering, we would also like to encourage you in firing your boss. Learn the wonderful opportunities in the Forex market. Find out more about these proven strategies at www.imarketsliveinternational.com. The time has come that we become empowered instead of exploited. Most of the world's contributions have come from a Black man or Black woman. Right now is the perfect time to showcase our talents all over the planet. We are BIB Blacks in Business. Search for us on Facebook by typing in We Are BIB Blacks in Business and the name of your state or country. Join us for our new radio program every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. We are BIB Blacks in Business.
All right, everybody, let's get back into it. You are listening to BIB Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network. We just got off the line with Mr. Jeffrey Cheatham. Oh, my goodness. We got into many different conversations about Black empowerment, what we need to do, and, you know, just, I mean, I guess we'll call it a typical conversation, but I'm so
so typical, not so typical, because, you know, Jeffrey is on point. You know, we all need to do something, but, you know, what is it? You know, we need to get together as a group, at least small groups, I think, and just go forward. And Robert had lots of commentary on that, and we're just going to keep it moving. We have our next guest. I believe he is on the line. Let's see here. Welcome to BIB Radio. Who are we speaking with tonight?
This is Brother Ramesu in New Orleans.
Hey, Brother Ramesu in New Orleans. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, Sister Cece. How are you doing? And how are you, Brother Robert?
Brother, I'm doing blacktastic. And yourself?
I'm fine, sir. I like that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Great to have you on. Great to meet you. Heard a lot about you. The information you have, definitely, I know the believers, the callers, and those that want to learn can definitely learn something from you tonight, myself included, because how many times have I said to myself, man, this should be an invention, and just didn't know the path to take. And I called in to that George Foreman thing when you have a ideal or whatever.
No, you didn't do that. Please don't.
Yes, I
do that.
Did. I had an idea for a rake that had a shovel attached, and the rake reaches out and grabs the leaves and pulls it up on the shovel. And I just never followed up on it. I called them, and I don't know if that thing ever came to pass or whatever. But yeah, I'm sure a lot of us have these type of ideas that we don't know what to do with them, and we may not be in the best of environments that support that type of thinking. So you have the ideal, and the ideal only lasts for a few days, and then you're off to common life, you know. So I'm excited to have you on the show. Cece has said a lot about you. And tell us about yourself.
All right, I'm going to try to do this real quick for the listening audience.
Take your
time. For those lovers of Kemet, my name is Ramesu Mariana, born of Ron Love by Ahmed. For those who knew me and still know me coming up and may have not become advanced lovers of Kemet yet, my name is Devin Collins.
Okay. I understand exactly.
So Brother Robin and Sister Cece, I just want to veggie back on your earlier conversation. On earlier conversation in the first hour with
Hold
Brother
on,
Keith.
Brother. Wait a minute. I caught that. I don't know if everybody else caught that. He didn't say piggyback. He said veggie back. I caught that.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Good day, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Veggie back. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So it's a combination of things. I'm a research scientist and engineer by training, okay? My background is electrical engineering and mathematics. Double major in undergrad. So I got two bachelors, went to Howard University, got my master's, started the PhD program. And when you're a graduate student, you're living a hybrid existence. You got one foot in the real world and one foot in the fake world. And so,
right. So
you need money, but you want to finish your doctorate and stuff. And then, you know, what you said earlier, brother, this thing called life interjects itself. And so I left school and went to work as a patent examiner at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. And I was a patent examiner for 5 years. And I started getting disenchanted my last year. And I said, well, this will be the best time for me to see the pyramids. I went to Kemet. Saw the pyramids, and it changed my life. I came back, I resigned, I started my own company called the Devin Mark Corporation. It's after my first and middle name. And we started off as working with assisting people, particularly those in our communities who have all this, all these ideas, and they don't know what to do with it. So I help assist people getting their patents, trademarks, and copyright. Matter of fact, Brother Cheatham, who was just on talking about his book, it would have been nice to hear him talk about how he went about getting the the copyrights for his book.
Mm.
Because we all have ideas. I mean, although there's 8 billion people in the world, even Sister Cece and Brother Robert, even if the two of you have your own individual invention, I'm going to go esoteric on the audience, you still protect it spiritually and karmically. But when it comes down to business,
mm-hmm.
you got to get those ideas protected, because our people have created volumes of inventions that we have not seen. Some of us have not seen the economic promise of those inventions. And I'm no player hater. You know, I understand George Foreman is trying to get his money promoting InventHelp. But I've had a lot of clients that have been referred to me after they have been, in my opinion, taken advantage of by InventHelp. But our people don't know where to go oftentimes. And so we're up late at night, got all these ideas on our minds, thinking about things in which we could change people's lives, our own lives, particularly, and change the world. But we see George Foreman on InventHelp and say, man, I got this idea. Maybe I'll call InventHelp. And people don't understand. Our people oftentimes don't understand that there's a difference between being in the business of what I do, protecting the ideas of your mind, and the business marketing side of it. For example, if you're Nike, you're a billion-dollar company, you have obviously the resources to put in research and development, and you also have a law division that provides the services for the designers of the sneakers so they could put in the patents and the trademarks and the copyrights, etc. So it goes hand in hand. But as a gentleman at the Patent and Trademark Office once told me, at the help desk, matter of fact, he said, Mr. Collins, please be sure to tell any of your clients that trying to get a patent specifically and or a trademark is not for the faint of heart. You have to do your due diligence. You have to be serious, and you got to know you're gonna pay, because it's a costly proposition. And so when our people oftentimes are dealing with their lives, Brother Robert, you're dealing with your woman, Sister Cece, you're dealing with your man and your children, and you got bills to pay. When you got this idea, and then you go to a law firm or you go to somebody and say, well, just by chance, it might take, there's a possibility that the prosecution of your patent application may cost anywhere between $10,000 and $20,000. They're going to talk about the conversation that y'all had earlier. Well, why it costs so much?
Right.
This is serious business. I have many clients who have come to me after going to InventHelp, and they have exhausted their resources because they thought they were going to get their ideas patented. It's just a 3-year process from the day if we turned in your application sick day for a patent. You might not be rewarded your patent for another 3 years. Why? Because you got to go through the prosecution process. Okay, we submit the application. First, we got to make sure it's right. First, we got to research your idea to make sure that what you're claiming as your idea is not already out there. I guarantee you there's something that may be similar to it, but the key word that we have to prove is novelty. So now we have to search if it already exists. That's money. Now I have to write your patent application. That's money. Now we have to submit it. That's money. And then once the patent examiner who reviews it, he might reject it, and now that's more money because now we got to go back and forth determining why I should get it if they're telling us that you shouldn't get it. So what I do, like Sister Cece was referred to me, and most of my clients come from referrals, and I tell each and every one of them, full disclosure, you could do it yourself. You're paying me for my experience, but if you decide to use my services, we're going to have a real good relationship. We're going to get to know each other real well.
Yes.
And I say that because what y'all were talking about earlier, Black people have to become more sophisticated in doing business with one another, as well as knowing that business globally is done on relationships. I'm not on this radio show tonight had somebody not referred me to Sister Cece, where I could meet and listen to Brother Cheatham and meet you, Brother Robert.
Yes, sir.
So we have to get to that old style politics, where politics, as the great Neely Fuller said, is simply the art of people relations. So,
right.
So when we do business with each other, y'all were talking about our people like to come to us with a reduction of price. No, you need to see how much this costs for real.
For real.
And then we can discuss how can we proceed if you don't have all the money.
Right.
And when it gets to our people, you know, I love being Black, and I love my Black brothers and sisters. Sometimes we a piece of work. So we have to have a broader mindset when we're dealing with these things, because my job of getting to know you personally has to do with me understanding how to best protect the ideas of your mind. That's what I'm in the business of, protecting the ideas of your mind. Whoever it is that owns this radio station, with your show CC, Blacks in Business, whoever owns Black Talk Radio Network, I see that on their domain or something, they have the TM. Why is that important? That's saying that whoever owns Black Talk Radio Network, they own, that's their intellectual property, that TM.
Right.
That's their trademark. Now, I need to talk to them to make sure we get that federally registered.
Right.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, you're protecting your interests because whoever owns Black Talk Radio Network has the wherewithal and understanding that, well, I need to put this TM on it, this trademark, because my company owns it. But it'd be nice if we get that federally registered. Like, why? Because you can't use Nike without their permission. You see Nike, you see Coca-Cola, you see all these companies with the R, with the circle.
Right.
That means their trademark is federally registered. You try to use that without their permission. They will sue your underwear off.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So this is multi-millions and billions of dollars at stake. So we can't play with our ideas. I'm bound by confidentiality. Well, whatever your invention is, whatever your trademark is private between me and you as an inventor. But it could, for a patent, you know, any idea is patentable. Oftentimes, some our people, you know, it's nice to have, for you as an inventor, to have a working product that you know what it is, or a process, a working process that you can, where you can manufacture a product, or it can produce items that are reproducible. But the Patent and Trademark Office, as a former patent examiner for 5 years, don't have time to see if your invention works or not. Basically, they're going to be looking at, quote unquote, your application, which is almost in the form of a term paper, and your claim language, what you are claiming that your invention does.
Hmm.
And so they're going to research that, and if somebody else has something that's similar, you probably will get rejected. So you have to be skilled into knowing what to look for, and do you, basically, just like in any other business, do your due diligence. Again, I had a friend of mine who's a university professor. He did his patent application on his own. And after it took him like 5 years to get his patent. And so I did a lecture at a local university, and I asked him, I said, well, in front of the audience, I said, well, how much did it cost you for your patent? He said $17,000. Now, this is a professor in the audience where I asked him. So just to show that this man did it himself, and he paid $17,000. So what you think it could possibly cost if you don't do it yourself? So we just need to understand that. I mean, if you all pay, I have had a client to pay like George Foreman Invent Help like $12,000, and she didn't get nothing for it.
Wow.
And so it's disheartening because our people are hardworking, but we might not have the material wealth or possessions or the money to show for it. Another example, I had a cousin of mine, worked for the New Orleans NBA basketball team. He's like, oh, I just got my trademark. And I'm like, well, dude, I'm your family member. Yo, how are you gonna? I said, okay, no problem. I said, well, how much did it cost you to get your trademark? $7,000.
Wow.
So I'm not saying this to scare people off. I'm saying this because we need to know. Hey, Brother Robert, I need to sleep good at night, okay?
Right. Right.
You know, our people just need to know.
So, yes, they do.
And so, so what happened was, the story about myself, I came back from seeing the pyramids and started my own company while I was going back to school to finish my doctorate in engineering. And so I'm a registered patent agent for the Devin Mark Corporation, my company that I started in New Orleans. And I started the company officially after Hurricane Katrina, because as a research scientist, I wanted to bring my skill sets back to my hometown. after having lived in the D.C. area for 15 to 20 years. And so my company now has expanded to energy and water management based on my travels in Africa and to Haiti because of the Brother Robert, you could relate to this, the importance of water and clean water.
Yes, sir.
Especially what just happened in Flint.
Right, and I'm in St. Louis.
You know, okay. And see, water is really supposed to be free because of Mother Nature. So, but in today's world, we have to pay for that. But because I'm a research scientist and engineer, that keeps me in the game. Why am I saying this? Because I get people coming to me from time to time, well, you're only a patent agent and you're not a patent attorney. I'm like, well, okay, no problem. I had to learn the hard way, Brother Rob. I'm like, okay, no problem, you know. Go check out the law firms and see how you get treated.
Right. That's a whole nother cost on top of a cost.
Exactly, Baba. Exactly. So and up front too.
Exactly.
The cost up front. So
matter of fact, they're gonna discuss that number before you even get to anything about the ideal or the patent or any of that conversation. But here's what we need to have before we can proceed with this other thing.
Absolutely, Baba. Absolutely. So I do the same thing that the patent attorney does, but what keeps me in the game is my engineering and science background. Because as a patent examiner, I was examining all the semiconductor patents, which really led up to all the technology that's being used today with the iPhones and the iPads and all these different electronics. So this was from 1997 to 2002, you know, and because I'm an engineer by training, I'm not the average engineer. And I'm going to say this politely because oftentimes what I don't like is how they label the science and the engineering students nerds. Well, some of them do not have social skills.
Right.
That's what a nerd originally meant, that you didn't have the art of social graces. In other words, you didn't know how to talk to people.
Right.
And so I'm a people person. I like talking to people. And in my business, I got to get to know you because when I get to know you, I have a better understanding what your invention entails, and I can do a better job searching and writing your patent application, or we can brainstorm on how our approaches are necessary for the different wording in your trademarks. I mean,
I got a question for you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, because this is a subject that I've most recently have visited, and I have a really good friend who actually he does a lot of reading. So one of the things I'm hearing that that came to mind is, first of all, in order to even begin the process of doing a trademark yourself, because you mentioned attorneys and then yourself being in the business of patents and trademarks, the underline in that is you have to have a very good reading habit, I'm sure, because there's a lot of paperwork involved. And
absolutely.
So I know that firsthand because I recently had a business that I wanted to trademark the name of the business, and I did that in the city of St. Louis. However, it was just a state trademark and not a federal trademark, and the cost is, I'm from what I gather, is different, is much different from a state to a federal. So, could you, and you mentioned also about the Black Scotty Reed show in reference to a TM, an R, and those things. Could you speak on for those that are going into business and want to start a business and they want to trademark, my son, for instance, want to trademark a name. What is the difference between registering the trademark or just having the R, the TM? Is there another one that doesn't require you? They say if you're using it, then you have a right to it or whatever. But could you kind of enlighten the people from, I'm talking about from the very kindergarten state of starting a whole trademark, and as well as if a person didn't have the money, how and what should they do if based on the level, if they're at a point where they don't have the money and they want to use this name, how can they protect the name until they get to a state to where they can actually pay for a federal trademark?
That's an excellent question. You brothers are having such a wonderful conversation, but we have got to take a commercial break really quick. So hold tight. I will let Robert come back in and re-ask the question, and you guys can get right back into it. So we'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to call in, do so at 641-715-3660. Participant code 549-032#. Press *6 and 1 after that if you want to be heard in queue. We're having an excellent conversation about patenting. Everyone hold on. We'll have a commercial break real quick.
Here's what I want you to do. If you have a pencil or a piece of paper in front of you, I want you to write down on a piece of paper the word average. Write the word average. And then next to the word average, write the word good. And then next to the word good, write the word excellent. And then next to the word excellent, write the word amazing. So you should have four words right next to each other. Average, good, excellent, amazing. So today, brothers and sisters, if you are average or mediocre, you're going to live a very poor life. You're going to have a poor business. You're going to have a poor home life. And you're going to have, you're just not going to be able to have the whistles and bells of life being average today. So write the word poor under the word average. Today, if you are good at whatever it is that you do, you're good in the business that you do, you're good in the skill that you might have, you're good in your career in terms of getting the knowledge you need to climb that ladder, but you're good. If you're good today, you're going to live average. You're going to have an average career, and you're going to have an average business, because good today is not good enough. You're going to have average, an average life, and an average career, and an average business, even if you're just good, even if you're good. So write the word average under the word good. If you're excellent today at what you do, you're going to have a good business and a good life. And if you are amazing, you're going to have an excellent business and an excellent. So let me say that again. If you're average, you're going to have a poor life, fundamentally because you're going to be competing with everybody in America, or most people in America, because most Americans are mediocre to average, and that's what all the competition is. But if you are amazing, you will not have to worry about competition. You will not have to worry about your business. You will not have to wait in the line, or any line, for anybody, for anything. People will wait line for you, as I waited in line with 600 people for 4 hours to get my iPhone, because it was amazing. Let me say that differently. How you do anything is how you do everything, and people now know that.
How you do anything is how you do everything. That was Mr. George Frazier, and telling us how to be amazing. I love that commercial. I play it on both of my programs. And hopefully everybody gets something from that each and every time. But everyone, you are listening to Black Talk Radio Network. I am Cece. And, if you would like to dial in, do so at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032. Press, the pound key after that. And if you want to be heard, press *6 and the number 1. And Robert, you are asking the brother a question about, trademarking, I believe.
Yes,
I got the question, Brother Robert. I got the question.
Let me just add this too, and I know what I want you to do, Big Brother, is give the person the scenario if they don't use your services. Just give them that scenario, because chances are, if they tried on their own, well, we want to give the people the correct information so they can, if that's what they want to do. But more than likely, when they go through those difficult factors in trying to do that, they're going to want somebody like yourself. So if you really want to do it on your own, we're here to try to help you do that too. But if you want somebody that really knows how to do it, then we got the guy on the phone. You can get his information. He's going to give you the information. So, brother, if you would, go ahead and do what you do. Go ahead. You got the mic.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Robin and Sister Cece. Always a pleasure. I must tell you that I appreciate being on the Blacks in Business show tonight. So I'm humbly honored. So with that commercial of Brother George Frazier, I got to step my game up for y'all tonight. You know, I was like, oh, man, I'm just being good. That's not good enough.
Right.
We gotta step our game up. So, okay, let's give some examples. You watching the NFL, you watching the Super Bowl, you watching the NBA, you watching the NCAA. Sometimes during commercial break, you hear them saying something to the effect of today's program is a copyright by the NCAA or by the NFL or the NBA. It should is only to be used for NBA or the NFL purposes. And any unauthorized use is prohibited. Now, how can they say that and the program is still going on? So they can't get a copyright that fast. But what they're saying is, this is, they're giving that disclaimer saying that this live program that you're watching is an express copyright material of that particular organization. So whether it's prose, poems, or books, like Brother Cheatham was on earlier as an author, their programming, that they're saying that's their copyright of that information, and they're letting you know that you really can't use this without our permission. So if you got anything that's a document, anything that's prose-oriented, written work, soon as you writing a letter to somebody, I'm like, put copyright on the letters that you're writing. Because those are your words that are coming out of your mind. And because you might eventually put it in book form or think about it. Anytime a magazine article comes out, it's a copywritten work. There's a copywritten work for that particular company or that particular newspaper. When you read an article in the newspaper, somewhere in that newspaper, that newspaper is basically saying all those articles are copywritten works of that newspaper. Now, although
the Library of Congress deals with the copyrights. I mean, at some point, usually you submit, you know, audio recordings, written word, prose, and books to the Library of Congress, where you ultimately get that official copywritten number. But what you can do is just attach that little C with the circle, that little C with the circle, and saying this written work, or your record label CD is property of XYZ Corporation, all rights reserved.
Mm.
Now, I really like the trademark. See, the copyrights, you could do that yourself. Well, you could do all of it yourself. Matter of fact, the intellectual property world covers patents, trademarks, copyrights, and domain names.
Mm.
So, okay, if you don't have the money to pay me for your trademark, okay, GoDaddy and all these internet service providers are selling these domain names for $5 or $7 or buy one, get one free or something. What happens is, I'm doing a case for an R&B group right now on a trademark, and I was trying to show them how many of the artists that they know have their names trademarked. And so what was happening with the domain names, though, like people was cyber squatting. They were buying, okay, Brother Robert, it's like, Brother Robert, you're a strong brother in St. Louis, but you buying the domain name SerenaWilliams.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, because you was buying it so you could sell that to her, because of course she would want her own name.
Right.
And people like trying to sell it thousands of dollars. Well, the feds were supposed to have come in with a law because it was happening to the people of notoriety too much. Serena Williams, Tiger Woods, people were trying to buy their domain names and they were already public figures. So
wow.
If you don't have the money for a trademark, try to, as best as possible, to get the name, the domain name that you want, that you eventually want to be trademarked. Now, I'm giving you that's free information.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And
that's free information. Perhaps that information I should be charging.
No, the listening audience, this is what we do, big brother. We educate. Trust when I say we educate because we know, those of us that know, like myself, I've spent time teaching a brother all day long. If he shows me enough interest to want to learn how to buy real estate, I give it to him. And I give it to him without any expected return. But just the way it was handed to me, I already know that those that we bless with this information are usually going to come back and help us in some kind of way.
Right, because it's a different concept in the African tradition of bartering. You know, we ain't just friends. We're friends with businesses, and it's the exchange of ideas and the exchange of information that can be replaced in the form of currency. So I'm with you 100%, Bob.
Yes, sir.
So you might want to get the domain names. Now, if you're an advanced person, like, okay, Black Talk Radio Network already got their domain name, and they put the TM on it. TM means that the owners of Black Talk Radio own that name. So if Sister CeCe has a business, CeCe's Productions, I suggest you put that TM on CeCe's Productions. Brother Robert, if you got St. Louis, the Louis Enterprises, I need you to put the TM on the Louis Enterprises. okay?
Right.
Now, but it's not federally registered until we go through the process of putting that application in at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, where we are on the what we're moving forward to trying to get that R with the circle. You cannot right. use that R with the circle if you don't have that letter with the ribbon on it saying that you're federally registered with your name.
Right.
You can't use it. You can use TM all day because it's letting people know that you, somebody owns that. So they need to beware. But you really become up echelon when you got that R with the circle. Why is that important? You mentioned the state. Sister Cece, I just had this conversation with Brother Amafika. The issue is...
Oh, wow.
The issue is each state has a Secretary of State's office, and their rules can be a little different. But, for instance, I've incorporated my company in the state of Louisiana. Okay? If I incorporate in the state of Louisiana, they have to go through the name to see if that name, if some other company already has that name.
Right.
That's just that's incorporation paper.
Right.
That's a little different from trademarking.
Right.
Now, they'll tell you that they want you to trade name. I got a client, and I talked to him tonight before the radio show. I got a client in Mississippi. He said, "Oh, Brother Devin, I got my trademark. I got all that already. I said, "Really?" I said, "Show me your paperwork." I said, "Before you show me your paperwork, I think you got the trade names or your trademark in the state of Mississippi only."
Right.
But that's not federally registered. That just works for the state of Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
They ain't working in Missouri. They ain't working in Florida. They ain't in work. That's not working in the state of Louisiana because technically to do business in all these states, you have to incorporate in that state as well. Now, there's a sidebar for business people out there who already know. You can file the foreign corporation papers application for another state where you don't have to go through the whole process of incorporating your company. Unless you just got money and time to waste, go to all 50 states and incorporate your business in all 50 states. You could do that. Or it was easier to incorporate yourself maybe in your home state where you grew up at or something. And then if you're going to do business in another state, just file the foreign corporation papers. And like in some states, that's only $100. Right. Saying that, well, I'm already incorporated, but I'm filing as a foreign corporation to do business in your state. In another state, that is. So. To me, I'm not feeling the trademarking of your name in the state. I'm like, if you're going to be a big dog, go federally register it.
Right.
Where you in all the states. So
right.
Sometimes I really think the states are taking people's money, but that's only for radio purposes. That's only my opinion.
right. I wanna interject something because I had a situation like that. Company I had was called Socket to me. Went to a trade show in Vegas, met a manufacturer of socks. That's what it was, a sock store. And this manufacturer's name was also Socket to me.
Absolutely.
I exchanged my business card to them. I placed an order with them. About a month later, I received a letter from their attorney telling me that I needed to change
cease
my
and desist.
Huh?
Cease and desist.
Exactly, cease and desist. Right, which it actually threw me because I had a state trademark, and
don't mean nothing.
Yeah, I sent them a picture of that. Now I don't. They didn't. This was their attorney addressed me. They never followed up with me after I sent the picture of the state trademark because I was expecting maybe possibly them sending me something to proof of they had a federal trademark.
Brother Robin, a variety of different things could have happened in your case. They might have said, well, he's a small time business person in the mm-hmm. state of Missouri. Well, we're not really worried about his competition. But if you were somebody big, oh, they would have kept coming after you with that after they filed that cease and desist. They filed the cease and desist because y'all had similar names and y'all were perhaps in the same arena of business. Yeah.
Right.
Like, for instance, they selling socks, you selling socks.
Right.
So
right.
That's a conflict. When you federally register, they call that likelihood of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, Brother Robert, if they selling socks, they got the name, you got the name, but you selling snowballs, well, there wouldn't have been a problem.
Right.
Or if you selling car seats for toddlers, wouldn't have been a problem. But no, you selling socks. That's why you got the letter, bro.
Well, you know what? That happened to me too a couple months ago because my business is called My Virtuous Assistant, and somebody sent me a message on Facebook talking about. She had the same name as me and it was registered, blah, blah, blah. You know, I didn't care. I just
right.
totally ignored it. I just completely ignored it and she just went away. But I haven't taken
well, that's
any
an
measures.
Option. Yeah, that's an option too. I mean, that's an option, just ignoring it. I mean, because they have to determine. Now, let me just tell you like this. Ms. Mm-hmm. Cece, I know you are a future Oprah woman with money.
Oh, Oprah?
I mean, a future Oprah with money. I mean, just the money aspect.
Right.
I get what you're saying. I receive
the money aspect. So if you had Oprah money, oh, trust me, there would have been some attorneys involved, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they probably assessed the situation and say, oh, probably maybe even Googled you and stuff and say, well, okay, I ain't gonna trip on it right now, but you get Oprah money, they gonna resurface.
Right.
That's true. Now, brother, let's see. So we've got to wrap it up. Let's talk to the listeners. You know, if they want to get a hold of you or have some of your services, have consultation with you, how can they get a hold of you? I mean, there's so many more things that we could talk about, and of course we're going to have you back. I mean, 2 hours is just not enough, obviously.
I'm honored. Well, the easiest way to get in contact with me, as you know, Sister Cece, is by phone. My phone number is 504. This is my cell number. 504-782-8547. That's 504-782-8547. My company's website, we're in the process of redesigning it. The name of the website is devenmarque.com. That's DevenMarque.com. devenmarque.com. But again, I'm going to repeat the cell phone number, 504-782-8547.
We do free consultations. We talk to you. We believe in the utmost respect of having impeccable behavior, particularly with our people, to help guide them along the way to make a better decision. I just came from Washington, D.C. I did a lecture to a church group in the Washington, D.C. area Friday about intellectual property, protecting your ideas, patents, trademarks, and copyrights, and why this is big business and why your ideas are important. Because there was a brother who just spent $20,000 with InventHelp.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, and he was despondent. So mm-hmm. we try to assist our people who are inventors, because we have a lot of great ideas. And I've just partnered with another engineering organization in the Washington, D.C. area called Wise Grid Solutions, where they do energy management. But the importance of it is it's another black business. We have a team of engineers who can help, particularly those who have patent applications or inventions for patent applications, who do that require a lot of technical training, technical assistance rather. So we'll help anyone go through this process, because it's not for the faint of heart, but your mm-hmm. ideas are critical, and someone out there in your audience, Sister Cece and Brother Robert, is sitting on a potential $1 billion idea, and we want to help their dreams come true.
Absolutely. I remember hearing Les Brown say, and I think he took the quote from someone else, the richest place is the graveyard, because many wonderful ideas that are innovative have died with people because they did not bring them forth. And we definitely want to make sure that we help our listeners not have their ideas die with them. So we need to make sure that they listen to the playback of this show. We will provide it on our Facebook page, BIB Radio. Right, BIB Radio. And they can listen to this over and over again, and they can get in contact with you. But we want to thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for Jeffrey Cheatham for coming on the show. Thank you again, Scotty, for hosting us here and back engineering the show. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, brother. And I will definitely talk to you tomorrow at our appointed time. And this has been BIB Radio. You all have a wonderful night, and we will talk to you again next week at the same time.
Good night, my people.
Hotel. Everybody has a dream, but not everybody got to grind. You are where you are because of how you think. And if you were to change your thinking, you would change your world. Monday, I cry. Tuesday, I cry. Wednesday, I cry. Thursday, I cry. Friday, I cry. Saturday, I cry.